I'm speaking to you today about individualism and acceptance more. I'm going to have it up my nose. That's not the way they do scopes, you know. Anyway, I'm not your normal person, you know. I'm kind of in John's fabric, I'm afraid. That's why we see eye to eye so quickly. Anyway, so I was a single mom at the age of 36. During the time that I had previously been married, my husband and I had tried for couple years to have kids. And it turns out to have been a blessing because we didn't have them, and we were divorced after 6 years. So that's a story for another time in another place, but it worked out. Then I met someone special, aren't they all? And our first date was on Valentine's Day. That was not planned. And we were dating for just 2 months when I found out that I was pregnant. 5 months when I found out this was not the guy. But I decided to keep the pregnancy and get rid of the dude. Because I was 36 years old and I figured this might be my only chance at this point. Turns out it was. In 3 years after that, I had breast cancer. And that, too, is another story for another time. But I would never have been able to have kids after that. It wasn't an easy decision to keep her. I mean, in retrospect, I'm glad I did. But at the time, I was 36 years old and on my own, a full-grown adult. But it was hard to let my folks know that I was having a child. They were so disappointed. But they got over it. They were having another grandchild, and they were quite pleased with that. In fact, when I told them, I was still with the guy at the time, and we went over there, and I said, so Barry and I have news for you. We are getting married and having a child, but not necessarily in that order. So Dad figured it out right away. Before we even said anything, Dad says, okay, who's pregnant? But they, like I said, they did accept it. I mean, they too said, you know, well, you're an adult and it's your life and bless you. I never was shy about admitting that I had been a single mom. I saw no point in being all coy about it or anything. I mean, like I said, I was an adult and I couldn't hide the fact. When I returned to church, I have the driest mouth in the world right now. It's like cotton mouth. Anyway, when I returned to church, this is a little breakaway for a real quick note. I learned about a new hymn called, or it was new to me, called Here I Am, Lord. And the chorus of it says, Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. And I absolutely fell in love with this. It's about call, and it's a conversation between God and an individual. And it became kind of my call song. When I went to this church, I immediately felt accepted. It had been my home church when I was a child. But with my daughter, I never felt judged in any way. And I was never, again, shy about admitting that this was my child and I had no husband and all that. Oh, God bless you. Thank you. My lips are sticking to my teeth. And this song, when I heard it the first time, made me feel like I had been called back to this particular church. And it made me, this song also has made me help to make me make a lot of decisions that I have. You fast forward to the present day, and I need that to go away. Bringing us up to the present day, I'm from a United Methodist Church, and that particular church is having a very difficult time right now finding its own identity. And in the process, it's pulling itself apart, as you all probably know. Am I doing that? Individual parishes can choose to be inclusive of all, but most likely in the process, they're also losing half their membership, whichever way they decide to go. My home church downstate has a varied congregation, and it includes LGBTQ members. They just don't talk about it. Bree and I know the members. We talk with them. We are very open with them, and they with us. And it's not a problem. But the membership overall imagines that they're a very accepting and friendly congregation. And they are. They're very warm. But it's best not to bring up inclusion because it could get really ugly. The church six blocks down from us is also a United Methodist Church. And they freely fly the rainbow flag. And they have no problem. We just don't understand. I felt accepted here at this church immediately. The first time I walked through these doors, you were all very warm, comforting. John and Catherine, Linda, Jerry, many of you. I can look at all of you and just say, how wonderful it's been. We started out just a few times here in the fall because of the stupid weather. It takes us forever to get here from Houghton Lake as it is. But I feel that God led us here. I know I'm going to make you cry again, and you're going to have to go back and talk. Oh. But I do. I think that God led us here. And, there are an abundance of churches in Houghton Lake, as you can guess. We drive past them all. We drive here on 55. We come down Church Lane, coming in here, passing them all, including a United Methodist Church. And here we are. And this is the place that I call my church home. And I thank you all very much.
Hey, it's the post show.
Give me a hot second here. I brought my fan, so when I cry, I'm good to go. So, like Mom said, we started attending in October, if you don't know me. My name's Bree. What's up? And I actually am going to take the credit for finding this church, because when I knew that we were moving, my first thought was, get me the hell out of United Methodist Church. I'm done. I'm done fussing with it. I'm done dealing with the fact that their discipline says that all nations, creeds, and colors are of sacred worth. By the way, if you're gay, you don't count in that. You get tired of that after a while. And I grew up in that church. And so I love the people of that church, but I don't love the denomination. I love it when I go downstate. This is really high. like looking down on everybody. But I love going down and seeing everybody, because like Mom said, the people are fantastic. They're very open, very loving. But you get dragged down by the denomination and its crappy politics and its crappy bureaucracy, and it's just very tiring. So when we moved up to this area, the first thing I wanted to do was find a UCC church. My cousin's a UCC pastor, so I was aware of the denomination and how open and relatively free it was. But I also knew that I wanted to find an ONA congregation. You're it! So, yay you guys. Thank you for being here and putting up with us driving and not being here a whole lot. My church downstate is real judgy when they don't see you for a while. So, I like that you guys aren't. But anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about today. I'll have you guys know I haven't even really started reading what I wrote, so how much time we got? All right. But what I really want to talk about, because Mom is a straightie, so she was talking about straight people stuff and that kind of thing. That ain't me. So, but part and parcel with that was I went to my first ever Pride event yesterday. Being from downstate, I could have gone to Motor City Pride, but for multiple reasons, principal among them being that is a boatload of people. I am not about boatloads of people. And it's driving in Detroit is terrible. Parking in Detroit is terrible. But there was also the issue of not really feeling like that was my crowd. I'm going to wave my flags a little bit more. I'm in the community, but maybe I'm an ally. No, I'm not. So there was a lot of that going on in my life, back and forth. But this year, I was like, damn it, I'm going to Pride. It's here. I know about it. I know about it ahead of time. I'm not finding out about it after the fact, which is the story of my life. I'm going to go. And then it happened. My friends are in town this weekend, so we all went. So I was finally like, yes, this is my people. I'm going. I'm going to go. And I am underdressed for Pride, but this is pretty much the extent of me feeling like I could be colorful and not straight and out. So I'm, you know, baby steps. Baby steps. Little tiny baby steps and lots of falling over. Lots of falling over. So I went. And part of this is kind of a continuing adventure in figuring out who I am and coming to terms with it. And that's kind of been happening since high school, very slowly, because that was really when not straight people first hit my radar in a big way. But that couldn't be me, because wouldn't I have known? Wouldn't that be pretty obvious? So, no, that wasn't me. That, you know, surely I was straight. Maybe I just thought I was gay or bi because all my friends were. A really big clue should have been the fact that me and my friends were all in the theater department, where straight people are a myth, and about as, well, I was going to say about as real as a unicorn, but they do exist. We're going to talk about them. So, and growing up in the United Methodist Church probably didn't help, because I was getting all these conflicting Methodists. Talking is overrated. And it just, you know, for a little bit in middle school, I was like, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm religious. And then I got to high school and was like, that's not happening. So I had this really weird tug of war going in my brain. And I was like, I'm not. I'm an ally. I'm going to do Day of Silence with my gay friends as an ally. And if anybody asks, no, I'm an ally. I'm an ally. So that was a trip and a half. And then it kind of continued through college, where I hemmed and I hawed and learned a little bit more, as you do in college. And that was actually where I discovered something called asexuality, which is just where you don't really experience sexual attraction regardless of the person's gender identity or presentation. I don't know what that means, because I'm not sure that I've ever really felt sexual attraction. TMI. Welcome to TMI Sunday. I don't know what that feels like, and that's what one of these flags is. I don't know which one's which. It's the purple and the black one somewhere. I don't know. Was it that one? So this one. But I discovered that in college thanks to the internet. And it fit because it was like, I wasn't going to admit it at that point, but I knew it wasn't straight. So I had kind of that part compartmentalized. I was like, okay, this is fine, whatever, this is what it is. But then this new thing was there, and I was like, okay, so maybe I'm both. But at the same time, going with asexuality let me kind of embrace pretending to be straight, because I wasn't with anybody, which meant I wasn't with someone who presented more feminine. I wasn't obvious. There was just an absence of male-like figures and nothing else over here. So it was like, I'm okay, all right. I can swim in denial a little bit longer, get nice and pruney. It's my favorite river. By the way, I should mention that ace people aren't inherently straight. That is not what I want to imply. That's another conversation, another time. Not doing it now. But disclaimer. So anyway, so with all that being said, it's only really been in the last couple of years that I've really actually been able to say, no, this is my realization, this is my truth. But it's really only been in the last 6 months that I've started to embrace it and celebrate it and felt confident enough to be like, that's gay, because it is, because it's two women being in love, so that's gay. Yeah, it is. I like it. It's me. Those are my people. You know, it's weird. But all of that kind of led up to yesterday, where I went to my first ever Pride event. I don't know if you've noticed this today, but I'm a pretty emotional person on a good day. I guess today isn't a good... Nah, it's a good day. It's a good day. Today's a good day. But yesterday was just... Oh boy, I was a hot mess, including a little bit of sunburn. I'm going to use it to hide the blush that's going on. But yesterday was just so full of tears, of joy, of community, solidarity, of belonging, of bylonging, in many ways of belonging and some very bylonging. There were some very good-looking people. Oh, my God. Anyway. But as great as the entire day was, there was one particular image that is going to stick with me probably forever. And, you know, obviously this is a lot of not straight people loving their fellow not straight people and being with their partners and just being comfortable loving each other, showing that they love each other and not being afraid of that, because this was a very safe space. There was a thing, but that's poo on him. But this one image just kind of hurt my heart, but in the best possible way. It was two middle school age boys. They had these huge shit-eating grins on their faces, but they were kind of... And they were holding each other's hands right like this, and their hips were touching, and they had their flags, and they were just walking through Pride. I didn't even know that gay was a thing in middle school. I didn't know it was an option. I was too busy going, do you like me? Check yes or no. To a boy, you know, as you do. Maybe I was a little behind because other people probably did that in fifth grade. But I loved that they were that age and they were that comfortable and being themselves. You know, as a community, our history has been a little rough. Say the least, we've had a few rough patches and probably have more, but you know, by and large, our present is pretty great. But man, with those kids and all the younger people that I saw there yesterday, my friends and I were calling them baby gays because they are, but to be cliche, because I love cliches, man, our future is so bright. I gotta wear shades.